Amen. I invite us to remain standing for our gospel reading that comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Jesus ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it's been given over to me, and I can give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. And let us pray. Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who indeed carries us and our choices always. Amen. We begin in the season of Lent a bit of a sermon series called He Carried Us, thinking about the ways in which Jesus during the season carries us, carries our brokenness, carries our hurts. He carries them all to the cross. He bears them all for us. And in his love gives us salvation, hope, and peace. This series also has a little bit of a link to U2, is one of my favorite bands. And the song Vertigo, if you've ever heard that U2 song or ever seen the video, I would say that song typifies this story in the Gospel of Luke. There is a line near the middle of the song where it is said, just give me what I want and no one gets hurt. Just give me what I want and no one gets hurt. It almost sounds like Satan talking to Jesus. Jesus, just do what I want you to do and no one's going to get hurt. This story is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, actually, it's even before he calls his first disciples. There is a recognition that this calling from God, it's not long after his baptism, that immediately in the midst of that choice to follow in God's way, to live in the waters of baptism, there is the devil offering him an alternative, offering him another way to live, another option, another choice, as it were, as he lives his life. Now, sometimes when we read this in the gospel, it appears as if these are the only time that Jesus ever faced temptation. And it is not. Temptation was a constant presence in the life and ministry of Jesus, even as temptation is a constant presence within our own lives as well. And there are three temptations that are highlighted by these examples that Luke is giving us. When it says at the end of the scripture that Satan waited for a more opportune time, it probably was the next heartbeat or the next breath, and the one after that, and the one after that. But there are three things. The temptation, because he's hungry, he's not eaten for 40 days on this journey, to turn a stone into a loaf, is a temptation of putting my needs ahead of anyone else's. Excuse me. It's that instant gratification culture that we're a part of. It's those stories we now tell when we tell someone that we had to wait 5 minutes. 5 minutes. That's 300 seconds we'll never get back, you know? Or needing exactly the right thing at the right moment. The counter to that, Jesus carries that temptation, that desire to carry our own needs, and Jesus carries with us a response to that, as we hear in the story, and that's trusting that God provides. Is trusting that God does indeed meet each and every one of our needs. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. We're tempted. We face that temptation, and our culture feeds on it to get exactly what we want the moment that we think we might need it, and to not wait. It's why we struggle so much with our credit card culture and getting into debt, because we want to buy something that we can't afford yet. So we understand what Satan is tempting, and we understand the power of that temptation as well. The second temptation, excuse me, I've been talking this morning. The second temptation is the one where Satan offers him all the power of the world. He says, if you would just worship me, if you'll just give me obedience, then all this power that's been given to me, he says, you can have. You can have all this power and then not have to worry about doing any other work. I apologize for that. This temptation is the power of using our influence to get our own way. The ways in which we manipulate, the ways in which we push or press upon someone to do what we want them to do. You know, there is a way to do that in a way that's healthy and agreeable. But there are other times where we use other tactics, don't we? To make sure that what we want happens actually does take place. It's that temptation of doing the right thing, but for the wrong reason. And the hurt that happens and is caused because of such a decision. You know, if Jesus had all that power that Satan is offering, then the whole needing to teach is kind of unnecessary. The whole disciple-making, dealing with the everyday challenges of the life around him would have been unnecessary. We'd have a government that would impose upon each of us and each of the citizens what exactly Jesus would want. You notice, you see the change there? All of a sudden, this faith becomes coercive. And Jesus, in his way, is not a coercive way. Jesus invites us. It's why, in the beauty of our baptisms this morning, for Caitlin and for Everett and Sophia, we are inviting them into a life of faith through the waters of baptism. We're not forcing them into this faith. We're not coercing them. We're reminding them through the water of the grace of God, that the Holy Spirit rests within them. As we say in a liturgy, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not you will be a faithful, but you may. The temptation is to push, to force, to make it happen. The response is, Jesus carries that, and the response is to worship God, to let God's way be the way that guides us, to invite people into a relationship with Jesus Christ, that our words and our actions would be an open door, as it were, welcoming another person into God's grace and peace. That third temptation, I just simply don't recommend. Don't jump off of any tall buildings, okay? And those in the balcony, don't jump out of the balcony either this morning. But in this third temptation, Jesus is taken to the pinnacle of the temple, the highest point in Jerusalem, as it were. And this is where Satan quotes scripture. In fact, we, even in our Psalter reading, Reverend Grimmett led us in some of the scripture this morning. It's right from Psalm 91. He said, jump off that temple. If you are the Son of God, notice it's always that question, kind of saying, don't you want to prove it? Don't you want to prove that you are the Son of God? But if you're the Son of God, then just step off this pinnacle. God's angels will swoop down and they'll save you. And what a scene that would be. No more having to do all this ministry stuff. You'll have people flocking to follow you. When they see those angels rescue you, your job is done. No cross, no crucifixion, no death. It's all done. And I think this third one is a tricky one for us. It's the shortcut. It's the temptation of the shortcut. It's the temptation to do it the quickest way, whether it's right or not. We face that temptation as children when we're in school, when we're tempted to cheat. We face this temptation at work when we're tempted to fudge numbers or claim a success that's not ours. We face this temptation in relationships too, when we don't have that long conversation to work through a challenge or a struggle that we may be facing in our lives. We try to find a shortcut, a way to eliminate the hardness and the hard conversation that maybe we need. We get in churches and oftentimes a lot of prepackaged programs that will fill your sanctuary up next Sunday if you do these five things. If you say the right words, if you read the script correctly, then this will happen. And life isn't that simple. The shortcuts don't get us ultimately where we want to be because we're not prepared to be there. Jesus refuses this temptation. He never takes a shortcut. In the midst of his teaching with his disciples who don't always really seem to get it, in the midst of being found in the midst of the daily lives of the persons around him, in their pains and their struggles and their joys, he took no shortcut. When it came to that journey of Holy Week, to the cross and to death, Jesus took no shortcut for us. He carried our brokenness. He carried our sinfulness. He carried us completely and wholly and said, I will not let you go. I will be your peace. I will be your forgiveness. I will be your Lord and your Savior. I will be your companion. And I will be your friend. There is power in Jesus' refusal to take that shortcut and his desire to be faithful to God no matter what that road would entail, no matter what the path would be. Jesus walks that path with us and for us. Luke says that this is not the end of those temptations. The whispers will be there for the remainder of Jesus' ministry. There will always be an opportunity to choose poorly, to choose a wrong path. We know that from our own lives as well. We know how powerful those temptations can be. It is a blessing that we know that we worship a God who is aware of it as well, who also then carries us in those times of temptation. Sometimes carrying us through those moments, other times maybe carrying us after we have fallen. And we desire to begin again, to seek healing, to seek forgiveness, to seek wholeness, to be the people that God has called us to be. And so I am grateful. I'm grateful this morning as we celebrated Caitlin and Everett's and Sophia's baptisms that we get to walk with them and they get to walk with us. Maybe we'll hold them for now. Once they're old enough to walk, then they'll be walking with us. But on this journey of a God who carries us in the midst of our choices, of a God who gives us a community, a family and church to encourage us and to support us. And through the power of God's forgiveness, gives us the opportunity to begin again and again. We indeed are carried by a God who loves us. We are known by the one who calls us by name and walks with us even now. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, move among us in the midst of the choices that we face in our lives. Lord, help us to choose your way, to be grounded in you and your worship, and to live out your grace and peace when we are tempted to live a different way. And God, when we do make those choices that lead us away from you, we ask your forgiveness and that you would once more gather us into your holy presence. Bring healing where there is hurt. Bring hope where there is despair, and bring life when we experience death. In your holy name we pray. Amen.